Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Beyond the Standard, the online interview program sponsored by Christian Standard Magazine. This is Christian Standard editor Mark Taylor, and I'm very glad you've joined us today for today's get-together. Let me remind those listening live that they can post their questions to our panel in the chat line. You'll find at our Beyond the Standard Blog Talk Radio site. I'll be monitoring that, and I'll do my best to get your question before our panel. Today we have four guests. They are Ben Kuchiris, lead pastor at Mountain Christian Church, Joppa, Maryland; Tim Harlow, lead pastor of Parkview Christian Church, Orland Park, Illinois; Eddie Lowen, lead minister of Westside Christian Church in Springfield, Illinois; and soon, Greg Nettle, president of Stadia Church Planting in Irvine, California, will be joining us. This group calls themselves by an interesting, unique name. They call themselves the Stinklings, based on that group, the Inklings, that C.S. Lewis and others were a part of. And they've been together for more than a decade. Today we want to find out why they've done this, how it works, and what's happened because of their camaraderie. They're joining us from all over the country, some of them driving in their car and so forth. And we're so glad that they've made the time to be with us. So one of you guys, I'm just going to throw these questions out. I don't have questions earmarked for certain people. Tell us again how this whole idea started and why you guys decided to get together in the first place. Who wants to go first?
Well, I think I'll jump in on that. This is Tim. It was born out of, I still remember the bus ride with Eddie when I first met him for the first time, realizing that we were both doing ministry, 3 hours away from each other in the same state, and we didn't know each other at that point at all, and we were at a North American Christian Convention meeting, and just happened to sit by each other on the bus and started chatting and, realized how many things we had in common. And then along the way, I had already known Greg and already known Ben, I guess, to a certain degree, but Greg and I were at a Willow conference for something. I don't remember even what that was. And I think if Greg and I can take credit for it, I think we're the ones that kind of started the process of this. And, it kind of instantly said, well, who else do you know that's in our category that we could hang out with? And we thought a quorum of four was going to make a good sense just because we knew we would be golfing at some point. So it seemed like a foursome was an easy way to start the process. So, we got Eddie on board and we got Ben on board, and then we went and spent our first time together. I went to a guy's cabin that up in Wisconsin that was owned by a person in our church and just hung out, did some snowmobiling, did some fun things together and just started talking. We did not go into this, saying, we didn't go in and slit our hands open and become blood brothers and, decide that we were going to live in each other's worlds for the rest of our lives. We just kind of tried it and thought, well, let's just see how it goes. And let's get together and speak into each other's lives a little bit. And from that, it grew to what it is today.
Yeah, Tim, you almost got some of that accurately. That's impressive.
Thank you. And Ben was the last guy. Ben was the last guy in. I just want to make that known.
Well, it's funny because Eddie and I thought we started it and invited you guys in. It's funny because I think actually the first time, Tim, if you recall, was at your house. The first gathering was at your house when we planned.
Oh, that's true.
A sermon series together,
true.
And I remember somebody,
that's
maybe
true.
Greg or somebody saying, we looked at Bob Russell and Wayne Smith and their long-term friendship. These guys were kind of the old samurais of our fellowship and our churches. We just kind of looked up to them, and they seemed to have a kind of camaraderie. They seemed to have done ministry together a long time. They helped each other with resources and all that stuff. And I remember somebody saying, it would be cool if we could have that, but we're not going to have it if we don't go after it and create it. And it was so Tim's right. It's probably an accident, but I think there was a little intentionality to say, let's just experiment and see if this could work out. And it's kind of been interesting. It has.
Yeah,
so
I said it that way. Well, I said it that way because I know we're getting the question from other people, like, how do you start this group? And it is a daunting feeling to think, you know, I'm gonna go find three or four other guys or gals, depending on who's doing this group, and commit to living my life with them for the rest of their life. I think we got lucky. I think we got blessed by God in putting the right people together. But don't let that scare you off from trying something. You know, even if it doesn't work, try something to find some accountability.
So did you meet the first time thinking, let's just meet and see what happens and decide if we're going to meet again? Was that the idea?
That's how I recall it. I remember we got together in Chicago. We made the trouble at least to get together that way. We wrote a Christian series of sermons together. And so we just sat and boy, just ideas gelled and kind of began to figure out each other's personalities. And Greg thought about things a certain way. And we could see Eddie had certain gifts. Him and Ben each brought their own thing. And it kind of gelled. And from there, I think it was after that trip, we said, what if we just got together at this, Tim said, I know a guy who's got a cabin he would give us for a couple of days. And that's when we went to Wisconsin. And it was on that trip, I remember, guys, wasn't it that trip that we were sitting in the car and we said, you know what, if we're going to get together periodically, what if we wrote a covenant kind of together in the car, just saying, here's stuff that's important to us. By then, we'd spent enough time. And right away, we kind of wrote a little covenant that we just, that's where we came up with the name Stinklings from that early time. And that kind of just sort of marked out some of the stuff we thought was important. Eddie tells about that in the article he wrote for the Standard.
Right. I think you're right. I think it is intriguing and a little bit frightening to think about starting such a group. So maybe one principle would be find some people you already have some relationship with and see if you want to get together one time. I don't know. Is that good advice to somebody?
Well, and to Ben's point, we had a peripheral thing that we were going to accomplish. You know, that's one of the beauties of being on a North American Christian Convention committee or one of these committees for something else. You've got something else that you're working towards, and if relationships gel out of that, then it's wonderful. So for us, you know, we just say, oh, let's do a sermon series together. You do something simple, and you're going to know right away whether things are going to work or not. And you know, I think having something else that you're focusing on, the rest of it will gel.
Especially true for guys, I think. You know, guys aren't too inclined, I don't think, to say, let's just get together and share with each other.
If you're
going to get together, if you've got a task to achieve, I mean, that's good
Greg's
insight,
like
I think.
That. Yeah, Greg's like that, but the rest of us weren't, yeah.
Now, Greg has joined us. Greg, you can defend yourself at any time you want there.
Oh, I thought he wasn't on yet.
He's there, so... Well,
it's been great
talking to you today, Mark.
See
you. Yeah, great. Yeah, I get the impression from something that one of you wrote me that the decision to keep going with this has sort of been. It's not like you signed a 10-year pact or wrote a 20-year covenant or something. It's almost like you look at each other periodically and say, "Well, shall we meet again?" Am I reading that right?
Well, they may be saying that. They're not getting away without me.
Well, okay. You feel free to set me straight here. I may be reading the wrong thing into something I'm remembering here.
I do recall. This is Ben again. I do recall some periods along the way, guys, where we people. You know, we're busy guys. We have other circles we run in, and someone will just say, "Okay, we're having trouble finding a date to get together," or you know, we haven't been in touch very much. Inevitably, someone will step to the middle. We don't have a leader, you know. We're all leaders in our own right. But someone will invite the rest of us to say out loud whether this group is worth something to us and whether it's still a vital and important part in our lives. Because nobody wants to waste anyone's time. No one wants to be a bother. And those, I think, have been key for me because those were times when each of these guys stepped to the middle and we all kind of said, look, I need this. I want this.
Yeah.
You guys are, you have a significant place in my life. And, you know, honestly, here's why it's so valuable to me. And while we've never just said, okay, it's time for our annual contract renewal, those things have meant the world to me because, you know, call me insecure or whatever. I think it's been helpful along the way. We don't have a lifetime contract per se, but we've said we want to do this forever, but it's helpful along the way in our case, I think, for us to say, you know what, this is really important to me. And every time we're together, we reiterate that to each other. I don't know if you guys speak to that. I think those things have been helpful for us. And I think any group has a shelf life without that kind of renewal.
It was a key moment when Greg was stepping out of located pastoral ministry to take the reins of Stadia. Yeah. You know, I mean, we were so tight with each other. You know, I mean, I think if Greg would have gone to sell insurance or done something completely unrelated to ministry, I think by that time we were in each other's lives that it didn't matter if we weren't necessarily hitting from the same common spot anymore. We were brothers together. So, and as it turned out, it's been great anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Hey, Mark, this is Eddie. To respond to your question directly, we actually have said that our intention is to do this thing. And we've talked about through our ministry years, which since we're all relatively close in age, we think will be, a similar time frame. But we have expressed our intent to keep this thing going. I don't think any of us feels that we couldn't change our minds if for some reason it became unproductive. But it is our intention at this point, and it really was kind of an intention early on, although if the chemistry had not been there, I think we all would have walked away from it. But we have said we plan to do this from here forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about let's get specific about what you guys feel like is accomplishing. And I'm still a little bit hung up on the getting started idea. Let's talk about this. Do you feel like, have you discovered this accomplishing something that you hadn't intended that it would accomplish? In other words, I'm thinking about people listening to this, and they're going to say, we're going to start a group to do X, Y, Z. Do you feel like what this has accomplished has morphed or grown or changed from what you thought it would accomplish? That's one half of the question, and then the other half is, well, what is it accomplishing? So feel free to attack either one of those, any one of the four of you. We're all on the phone.
Is
so
Greg
we're not
with
like...
us yet?
Let Greg talk. He needs to talk.
What do you think about this, Greg? What is it accomplishing, and is it accomplishing something that you didn't anticipate, or is it accomplishing exactly what you said? This is why we're going to meet. I'm curious about that. According to my little screen, it shows that he's there, but I don't know if he's there or not. So let's let somebody else answer.
I'll jump in on it. I think it's accomplished exactly what we thought it was going to accomplish. I mean, what we were hoping for was accountability. And I have that in other areas of my life. I have two brother-in-laws that are in ministry that I'm close to. And we all know that, you know, there are certain idiosyncrasies about what we do that would make it more difficult for people that, you know, don't get where we live. So that was important to me. But the level of accountability and the level of relationship, I mean, you know, over the course of time now, you know, we've had each other's children interning at our churches and, you know, been to each other's kids' weddings. And, you know, I mean, if something important happens in my life, there's a two hands, you know, worth of people that are going to hear about it instantly. And three of them are on the phone with me right now, good or bad or ugly. And especially the bad, when there's not times I can talk to anybody else about something that's going on, these three guys are going to be the ones that are going to hear it. And, you know, I don't know that I knew how much I needed it until I got into the middle.
Let's hear from some of the rest of you about
this. Hey, guys, this is Greg. Am I on the call now?
Greg, you're here, man. We want to hear from you about this.
Oh, man, finally. You've been asking. I haven't been able to get on the call. I'm so sorry. They kept sending me the voicemail, so I left my replies. Well, this is such an important topic for me. Now I can clarify everything for you, Mark.
Okay, now good. The answer's here.
It's about time.
Yeah.
That's right. We'll,
I mean,
we'll
know,
edit the tape to start
to my,
here.
Let's go back to my decision with Stadia, because I want you to know, you know, when I made that decision to leave River Tree after 25 years and move to Stadia Global Church Planting, these three guys were the first guys I went to. And I think that says everything about the relationship. They're my most trusted guys in my life as far as advice like that. My daughter's 17 years old, and she's a junior in high school, 16, she'll be 17 next month. And we're going through all these college things, which Eddie and Ben and Tim have been through. And we're getting together, actually, in December with our wives for a few days. And I said to Julie today, I said, I can't wait to get together with these guys and talk to them about how they handled these college decisions. I mean, that's how much these guys mean.
So when you went to when you were deciding to go to Stadia, did you go to these guys to tell them, or did you go to these guys to say, should I go?
Oh, it was definitely the early part. I said, here's the deal, here's what's going on. I thought I'd be at Rivertree, you know, the next 20 years, and I think we all think that with our churches, right? And And then I went to them and sat down with them and said, hey, here's what's going on, and here's an opportunity. And I need to know what you guys think, because this is totally catching me out of the blue. It's blindsiding me. And it was fascinating because they all immediately said, well, yeah, this is exactly what God has planned for your life. So they were the first in the process, not at the end of the process.
I think we were more certain of it than Greg was.
Yeah, oh, way more.
But I don't think that's surprising.
Yeah, I think it's evolved to that. You asked about what was a surprise. I would put that, guys, in the category of surprise, how important major moves are for us in terms of not making that move without talking to the guys. I think it was maybe Swindoll or somebody like that years ago used to talk about everybody needs a board of directors, your own personal board of directors, you know, those people outside of yourself who kind of speak into your life and your decisions. If you're thinking about something like a new project, somebody that you can run by someone else who can say, I don't think you should do this, doesn't make sense. And I would say that's a surprise of how that's been for me. I wouldn't make a move without first consulting with this group, just because I would trust their collective wisdom and judgment and input more than my own on things that involve, you know, a life change for myself.
Yeah.
You know, I think the fact is that the ministry's hard, and there are times when we all want to make a move and are at a bad point in our ministry and things are tough and you're having trouble with your elders or trouble with people in the church or things have flatlined in growth and finances. And it's great to have a group like this to bounce things off of and say, hey, help me get a clear perspective on God's will for my life and what's going on here. And that's what these guys do for me.
Do you want to flesh out any more of what you mean when you say it provides accountability? That's one of you mentioned a couple minutes ago. We needed the group for accountability. It provides accountability. Well, what you want to flesh out what that means? Go ahead.
Can I jump in, Mark, on one thing before you leave that? I just got something else that I think might be helpful for someone listening, maybe. I don't know. You had said you were talking about how does this thing evolve and grow and kind of get a handle on that. Obviously, we're not really sure. We're struggling to try to describe that. And our real intent would not be to just, you know, kind of blab about our group as much as give some helpful handles for others to do something similar. But I do recall one thing that we started thinking this will be a profitable outcome of this group was that we were going to share resources. And in the early days, man, we did that a lot. We would say, I mean, we overlapped on sermon series of, you know, probably 50%. You know, it wasn't a sermon series that one of us did that the other didn't do. Basically, Eddie writes all of our stuff and he circulates it to us.
Right.
he gets it from Bob Russell. who got it from Mark Driscoll. But anyway, but I think we have moved away from just that. I mean, we hardly share, we don't share resources nearly as much now in terms of what are you thinking, what's a creative idea, what's some new thing you're doing with this campaign. Now it's more hovers around the friendship part. So another surprise for me that I've observed that has been a practical benefit would be, I'll tell you, I'm a more financially generous person because of heart-to-heart conversations that we've had with each other. There are three individuals I've ever uttered out loud how much I make to, and they're the guys on this call. And they know how much I make, and they know how much I give, and they and that's a healthy thing. We like to keep that kind of private, but these guys pushing me to be more generous than I would honestly be, and being a good steward of income and family. I think I treat my wife differently and better, I hope, because of some of the courageous examples of these guys at their best. Those are things that I do think. I think there's one more. I think another unforeseen benefit that occurred to me while you said that was, guys, I think we have been kind of theologically formed with each other. None of us are wanting to say we've arrived at every position completely and we're calcified and so forth, but we're always wanting to be open and growing and learning. And we don't. There's a lot of things we don't agree on, but I think we love and are energized by a safe place to test out some of our theological thinking on different issues, have people push back against it. Even if we disagree, we love each other, and that models something healthy for the church as well. So I think that was an unintended benefit, is a place to safely test. I don't know. I'm thinking about this thought. Do you think that's crazy? And we've all moved quite a bit of distance on different issues over the years, and I think that's a benefit of a safe place to do that like this.
Yeah. You know, Mark, one of the things that is Ben's talking there about the accountability issue, when we talk about finances, I remember in the early days when we started getting together, it was kind of how much do you make, and I am making an appropriate amount, and it shifted over the years to we rarely talk about that now. It's more how much are you giving away, and that's a whole different kind of accountability that we're sharing with each other now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else you want to say to flesh out what it means, what accountability means? Go ahead.
Yeah, you asked the accountability question. I mean, several of us are each other's internet accountability partners. I mean, this is, you know, you're talking to four, giants of the faith here, right? But I'll be the first one to admit that that's not what I am. And if I don't have the X3 watch thing on my computer, I could get myself in trouble. So, you know, those things get sent to people in this group, and it's nice for me to know. It's nice, you know, I mean, and when somebody's got a problem going on, something's kind of obvious, we're close enough now, we'll punch each other in the head. We will rise up and say, look, dude, you're having a problem with this. You need to fix this. And there aren't very many people that have someone in their life that they respect enough that they will let do that. And that's something that's based on this relationship.
Or that they'll
and
trust
just let me affirm,
to be that
just let
with.
Me affirm that Tim is not a giant in the faith.
Thank you.
I'll second that motion.
Well, you know,
he is doing really well on DraftKings, and that's admirable.
there's plenty of guys out there, probably 90% of them, who will struggle in that area at one time or another in their lives. And most of them, you know, everything that we know and everything that we've read said that problem grows in the dark and in secrecy. And
right.
So you guys have found a way to shine light on it in a way that doesn't burn it up, to keep the analogy going. And a lot of guys are really looking for that.
One of the critical points I remember in my ministry was I remember sitting in the hot tub with these guys, I think out in Colorado we were skiing, but, you know, the hot tub conversations at night and just confessing, you know, a struggle I was having and opening up with these guys and saying, hey, look, this is an area of concern for me. And, you know, it's been really good for these guys to know that. Like you said, we're only as sick as our secrets. And to have guys where I can feel confident that I can share really the darkest stuff that I struggle with. And I think we've all done that with each other. And that keeps, I mean, I look at it, we've been in the game now, you know, a long time at our churches. And one of our goals, when you look at our covenant, is to finish well. And a whole lot of megapastors don't finish well, and leaders, or not just megapastors, pastors in general, people in general.
Right.
And we have a deep desire to finish well. And I think that drives us to say, okay, we're willing to make ourselves vulnerable and to take risks and sharing some stuff to make that happen.
But it's also probably important to notice that you to know that you weren't talking about your internet habits or your finances and stuff in the first meeting or two that you had. Am I hearing that correctly from you guys?
I'm not so sure about that. I mean, we dug into we didn't nobody was forced to, but we dug into some pretty deep stuff right away. But again, it was just a natural thing that happened. I don't want to scare people off. It was a natural part of relationship and open transparency.
Yeah, we talked about the fact that we needed to talk about it, and I think really all accountability is transparent relationships. And so as those relationships formed and grew, and I think Tim's right, it happened pretty quickly for us. But we definitely talked about the fact that this is the kind of thing we need to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my experience with this group and with other guys that I'm mentoring now, I think we all have a deep desire for someone to know us and for, you know, people that we can be known to and that we can know. I'm kind of amazed at how quickly guys will be transparent if they think it's a safe place to be transparent.
Mm.
Guys and I should say, yeah.
And when one person breaks the ice and shows some vulnerability and says, look, you know, this isn't really pretty, but this is what is about me right now. Sigh of relief, and all the air goes out of the room in a good way. It's like, okay, finally, we can get real here. And it's a Me Too conversation follows. And I think we've had, you know, those kinds of things happen over and over again. And I do think Greg's right. We all kind of long for that. I do think that is why the periodic check-ins along with the, you know, we're committed to this over the long haul are so important in our case, because it's not like you're going to do that with someone who's going to say, okay, well, it was nice being in small group with you for that 3 weeks, but you know, I'm taking your secret on to the next one.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, Mark, I think I want to get to something that I think is really important for maybe some of the younger guys out there that are thinking about starting this, and Tim and Eddie and Ben, you can jump in on this, but you know, River Tree, I went to our elders and said, hey, I've got these, my goal is to stay healthy for the long haul. I've got these three guys that are going to make this happen. We're going to do this as inexpensively as possible. But would this be an investment River Tree would make to pay for my flights, any hotels, rental cars, and so forth for us to get together? And the elders of River Tree unanimously said, man, absolutely. Because in the long haul, if you flame out, Greg, this is going to cost us a lot more as a church than maybe a couple $1,000s a year for you to get together with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so very graciously and generously, River Tree has actually, you know, paid for me, you know, for these counseling sessions, if you will, therapy sessions along the way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, not everyone would need to have form a group with guys in four corners of the country, though.
Right.
It just happened
right to
work out that way for you guys. Well, actually, I guess that should be a question rather than a statement. Maybe it helps to not have a guy who's preaching across town.
Yeah, Mark, I think that is true. I mean, I think there are some guys. I know some guys who regionally get together with guys in nearby towns, but there is a different dynamic if a guy is in the same city with you, if he travels in the same circle, you know, relationships. I think probably one of the things that helped us was that we were separated enough that we weren't worried about a lot of cross communication occurring, especially early on. We know we actually do have a lot of those relationships, but the distance helped, I think, in the beginning.
I did too.
Do you have a read on that?
I think it forced us into making a plan to go somewhere. And one of the things that, you know, it doesn't have to be expensive, but one of the things that made this good for us is we've gone snow skiing. We've gone, you know, we'll go someplace and go golfing. And usually one of us will have somebody in the congregation that has a place, and, you know, we'll pay our own way to for parts of it, and the church gets us there. But there's something about knowing, not only knowing, I mean, nobody wants to go sit around, you know, on a couch and talk about their problems for 3 days. But if we know we're going to go have some fun and do something we all like to do also, then that made it easier. And we happen to all like a lot of the same things, so that worked out great.
So, out of curiosity, how often do you have these getaway get-togethers then? Is that a once-a-year thing? How often do you do that, or does it vary depending on opportunity and need?
This is Ben. Let me jump on that, if you don't mind. Because I think I wanted to just say, too, I know there are some guys that are like, well, if it really does take a couple $1,000s a year, that model is not workable for me, because it just, the funds simply aren't there. And that's where I would say, you know, I think somehow, some way, getting together has got to happen. And like Jim was saying, it can happen at other things like North American. But, you know, we communicate. I'm just going to throw it out there, guys. I'm going to say it would be a rare week that we don't trade emails. Some weeks, dozens and dozens of emails, texts are flying. And then there might be a dry spell where we don't talk much in a group email chat thread for a week and a half, but rarely more than a week before something's going. And that's all free. There's no cost to that. So I would say there's got to be some way to build a relationship. That doesn't have to be expensive. But a lot of the nurturing of this is done on the phone through text and email. And but in our case, to answer your other question, our model has been trying to get together at twice a year at things we plan. And we are usually fortunate enough to see each other at other things like North American or a conference that we all have in common or something like that. Is that about right, Guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the other interesting things is a couple of times we've gotten together with our wives, which adds a completely different dynamic, because just because the four of us guys connect really well together doesn't mean our wives will. And we've actually been really fortunate that our wives actually like each other. So like this December, we're getting together with our spouses, and that was because our spouses said, hey, we'd like to get together with the whole group. They probably have stuff they want to discuss about us.
Well, it changes the dynamic, not only because number one, eight is a more complicated group than four, and then four ladies who don't know each other as well as you know each other complicates it. But also, I'm not asking for specifics here, but you know, you've got shared history with each other. You've talked about stuff. You've shared stuff that maybe you've shared it with your wife, but you sure haven't shared it with each other's wives. So doesn't it change it just has to change the dynamic of that meeting when the spouses are there. Not necessarily that it's worse, but it's just different, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you said it.
Go ahead, Eddie.
It is different. It is different, but it's not. But it's not. Yeah, it is different. Conversation is different. There are things that we would talk about as guys that we would not discuss with our wives there. And there are things, you know, if we go out and play golf, which we do less of if they come with us, but if we were to go out and do something together while we were on a trip with our wives, they would talk about things with just the four of them that they wouldn't talk about with us there. But, yeah, it's a different kind of conversation. It is different, and yet it is just as good in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when Carla hears me talk about these guys as she has for years, even before even hardly meeting them, she loved them because she knew what they were in my life. And there's a different kind of introduction there. And then when the ladies got together and found they did click and connect, I'll never forget one of the recent times we did have spouses, maybe a year ago. It was a break, you know, we you can just picture it. You know, eight of us sitting in a living room on a couch, and each one of us was going through something kind of difficult, and tears shed and prayers offered and a major breakthrough for one of us. And, you know, those are just precious times. So different, but I wouldn't say different in a way less valuable for our case. And I don't know if it's true in every possible in every group's case. I would highly suggest, disrespect not, but for ours it's been awesome, and we're very, very blessed in that way. But it's because of the affection and the love that the spouses have seen that we have for each other, I think.
Well, I think about the times, even, you know, the impact on our children. You know, I think about Eddie, your son Evan, who came and did an internship at River Tree, and actually my wife Julie became very good friends with Evan and has had a great relationship with him. And then Tim, I know he actually came to Parkview and did an internship as well. And
yep.
So, and I'm hoping, you know, my daughter Tabitha will be the beneficiary as well someday of our friendships, because our kids are friends now. You know, Tim's daughter's graduating from college, we send graduation cards. Or Eddie, mm-hmm. I believe you actually went to Tim's daughter's graduation. And,
yeah.
You know, there's just, yeah, I mean, it's the whole, our entire families have become entwined in this and matter to each other.
Well, in Eddie's article in Christian Standard, and, you know, we want to encourage listeners, if they haven't read that article, to find it. They can find it either at our website or they can find a whole raft of other wonderful, really, really, and I don't say this every month, but wonderful stuff on building integrity. And that whole October issue, which you can download to your phone or tablet via the Christian Standard app. But in that article that Eddie wrote called Quitting Solitaire, he ticked off a whole list of, he calls them threads and themes for a covenant that you would make with each other. And I'm curious about all of these, but more about some of them more than others. I thought I'd throw these out and see if you have any see if you guys, as all four of you, have any commentary on any of them. And if you don't want to talk about some of them, that's fine too. But I guess, and again, a lot of this relates to how this evolved, so maybe I'm beating a dead horse here. One of the things was determine how often you'll communicate by email, text, phone call. Did you covenant about that before it just started happening so naturally? And if you did, what parameters did you set?
No, it was all natural. It just happened.
Okay.
And I think Ben said that earlier. I mean, we'll go through spells. But very rarely will we go. I mean, every once in a while, somebody will send something out. I mean, it just happened 2 days ago. Somebody sent something out about something going on, and I thought, oh, I think I had a major thing go on at church that I haven't told you guys about. So, you know, then I'm going to respond, and I'm going to jump back in and make sure. It's just a natural thing. We didn't make anything happen along the way. I don't think anybody, you know, if somebody abused it, we'd call them out on it. But no, it's very natural and very good. Craig's always very short, but all the rest of us communicate a lot.
Can't type. Greg can't type.
Because you guys keep using my wrong email. I don't even get your emails half the time. Now, with that said, but Tim, we do meet twice a year, and mm-hmm. You know, like everybody else, our lives are busy. And you make priority, you know, what matters in life. And so we schedule out now. We're scheduling out like a year in advance when we're going to get together. And
yep.
Because it's that kind of priority to us.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, Mark.
And, you know, that would be
Mark.
That would be true for a group of four guys within 50 miles of each other also. If they were just going to
sure.
get together for a half day, you know, once a month, it would really be something to schedule that.
Yeah,
Mark. It probably
hey, Mark.
Doesn't.
With that said, the one thing that's really important is we discovered if we're going to really get into some deep stuff, when we get together those twice a year times, we have to spend two nights somewhere. Yeah,
because it even though you're close, you may not get down to the nitty gritty in the first hour that you're together. I'm guessing.
I really do think it's a good idea for guys to talk about how they want to do communication. Tim's right. We didn't construct a template by which we communicate when we first met. But based on our experience, I think it is a good idea for everybody to have a similar expectation. How are we going to keep in touch? How often are we going to do it? Hey, let's try to touch base once a week. So it is a good conversation item just to create expectations that are somewhat similar about how this group is going to work.
Mm-hmm. So I suspect that a lot of these things that that Eddie ticked off here were things that you decided in the process of growing together. You didn't necessarily sit down with each other and say, here's 12 things we're going to do.
Right.
For example, establish how you'll say hard things and hear hard things to and from each other. Did you really sit down and agree on that ahead of time? I'm trying to figure out how that would work.
I think that one is probably similar to the communication frequency thing. It's probably it's maybe a little anachronistic to have it in the in that list of things. Most of the things that are bullets on that part of the in that part of the article are actually things that were referenced somehow in that original draft of a covenant that we had. The two that you've asked about are probably more learnings.
Okay. So let's talk about some you might have spelled out. Determine the type of confidentiality you want for your group and to what degree it includes your spouses.
Very important.
Any commentary on that at all from you guys?
Very
well,
important.
Your wives are listening, of course, but
yeah. There are things that my wife wants to know that she needs to know that I trust her completely, but she also wants to know that I have guys in my life that I can talk to, and she's good with that. I think at whatever point there's a place where we feel like we need to step in with something, then we will tell the person, you know what, you really need to be talking to your wife about this. And it's never come to that point, but I would firmly believe that if there was something going on in my life and these guys called me out on it, and I said, you know, I'm not going to tell my wife, I would fully expect for them to jump into the middle of that. We have that kind of a relationship. That's the beauty of it.
I think my wife might call these guys if there was something going on in my life.
Yeah. That's what happens when we get all eight of us together. You know, there's always
something again
going on.
Okay. Let me pick another one. I've underlined a couple of these. Spell out what you've seen in yourself and others that has obstructed the spirit, hindered ministry, or harmed people. Ask for accountability in these areas. You know, the thing that strikes me about all of this... Go ahead.
I think Ben should talk about that, because I specifically remember that as we were drafting it, that was one of the things that he kind of let out in the conversation. I still remember him sitting in the middle row of a van we were in. We were trying to get this thing figured out. So, Ben, why don't you take that?
And what Mark cut out right in the middle of his sentence, what am I commenting on?
spell out what you've seen in yourself and others that has obstructed the spirit, hindered ministry, or harmed people. Ask for accountability in those areas.
Yeah, I just think, in our case, I think it doesn't matter. In our case, we happen to be in churches that were cresting 1,000 at the time, and so it's like, oh, rarefied air, right? But it's true for anyone in ministry. And I think we were sort of scared because we had seen examples of people who started well and finished poorly. And we were afraid enough of that against a prideful spirit that we, and an arrogance or being a big shot or wallowing in self-pity or believing the good press about ourselves or whatever. And so I do recall that there were several items, and I'm looking at the covenant now, which Eddie sort of veiled, because the covenant itself is pretty raw, I would say. It names names of people that we don't want to be like, and it names names of see what we do want to be like, and it was pretty frank. And I think it was out of that sense of we want to be for each other a sort of level, accurate mirror to say, if needed, you ain't all that, or don't be discouraged, don't be down about what's just happened. And that kind of leveling, stabilizing influence of friendship is a good kind of way of describing what accountability is, I think, and what friendships can do for each other. And I think that's part of what I would say in response to that, I guess. I think it's a great gift to give to each other, is just sort of a place where you don't, you know, these guys aren't impressed. Nobody cares when people we had in our church last Sunday. Nobody cares, you know,
what we care about is each other, and we're not impressed with the things that you might have been as a younger person or something. And I think kind of poking holes in each other's egos if and wherever needed has been an important thing. It turns out it hasn't been needed because these guys just want to be the real deal. By the same token, there are times and places where someone in ministry will have something delightful happen, and they're just not sure who they can tell, because anyone they tell is either going to say, well, you're really full of yourself, or, well, I wish that could happen at my place. But if you have 14 baptisms, you know, it's nice to be able to say, that's really cool, and have someone say, I am so happy for you, and this has given us that as well.
Yeah.
And I think it all fits together, what I'm saying, connected to your question, Mark. Just this sort of level feedback for each other out of just a desire to live accurately before God. And you need other people in your life to help you do that. You just won't do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that I was thinking that it's true with all kinds of it's true with a wide range of commitments. This is happening, and it's continuing because you guys have sought it. It's an act of your will to seek this accountability and vulnerability with each other, which is the first step toward all kinds of recovery, for example, and it's the first step toward you can't force this on somebody.
No, it's not easy. It's an investment,
yeah.
But in the ministry, I guess we all ask the question, how much do I want to be like Jesus? How much do I want to bring God's kingdom? How much do I want to finish well? How much do I want a good marriage and, an excellent marriage, not just a mediocre marriage? You know, Ben, I was just thinking about the time you were North American Christian Convention president, and for literally, I think the only time in the last 20 years that I missed a North American convention was the year you were president. And, yeah, which I still hate that I missed it, just so you know, I'm sorry, buddy. But it was a family decision. We had a family vacation scheduled, and I had to make the difficult decision to go with my family. But you loved me enough to sit down. It was literally a year later, I think, when you sat down with me and said, look, I'm still grieved over this. I'm still hurt that you weren't there to celebrate with me. And that's a hard thing for Ben to say to me, and it's a hard thing for me to say, man, I would have loved to be there, and I love you, and to work through those things as friends, because friendship is hard, and commitment's hard. And so, we have regrets. We still make mistakes. We still make decisions we wish we wouldn't have made. But you work through them together.
Yeah, and I'd say the group taught me a lot about that. You know, here we are, guys that are trying to lead churches with small groups, and we're preaching sermons on that. And I would quickly add that we all have good friends in our churches. We really believe that you need to have and can have close relationships with elders, with staff people, and we do. We've been blessed with that. But we have learned something about another probably level of transparency with each other that I'm not sure I personally would have learned in some of those other settings. Mark, you had asked, as we were getting ready for this, you said, did you ever have any rust spots that you guys weathered? And it's like, well, yeah, absolutely. How about the time that Greg, remember, guys, the first time Greg swore at me because I was talking during his backswing? And he muffed,
well,
he muffed
Ben,
his golf shot.
You are horrible to golf with. You walk through my backswing. You deserve
corner. You're a horrible golfer. And the thing is, but Greg cussed at me. I mean, he's a pastor. Can you believe that? He cussed right at me. But it kind of broke the ice a little bit. I remember the rough spot. How about the time we were tubing behind Tim's boat? And Tim, you hit that big wave, and about killed us. I mean, about broke our back. You almost lost.
I'm just laughing.
It broke my nose.
How about the time we were in that Crab Shack place, and a couple of you guys were really lighting into each other, and I don't even remember what it was.
Greg was insulting my mother. Greg insulted my mother.
That's right.
And
yeah,
I did.
We were playing tag on the mountain when we were skiing, and Tim hit me in the mouth with a ski pole. Hey, yep. Right in the face. What is that about?
You're it.
And Eddie threw up over the edge of the boat. So I would just say, but, you know, in all seriousness, you know, the thing about, you talked about accountability. I don't know if these guys, how they think about it. For me, what this has been, plain and simple, is about friendship. I mean, you want to boil it all down. I think one of the accidental geniuses or blessings has been having really good friends. And, you know, I remember when I was starting in ministry, someone handed me an article by Spurgeon, and it talked about the intense loneliness and the discouragement of ministry, and you can't relate to that as a young buck. But over the years, you do relate to that. And I'll tell you, ministry can be lonely, intensely lonely and difficult, even with people all around and good people and friends and good marriages, it still can be difficult. And this has been, for me, a place of deep friendship that, you know, has just been a blessing from God, and that's what I would be zealous for someone to pursue, to go after this. Not so you can get another thing in place as much as to say, you might just find that you have some lifetime friends out of it. And accountability came out of the trust that a friendship has. So I'll tell you, I know these guys are maybe wondering about it. I found myself in a situation years ago where I would say I'd crossed the line of what was healthy for me and had done something I'm not proud of, and I had shaded the truth about it to someone in order to protect myself. I hadn't been fully honest in a matter with someone who was close to me. And I came to the place where it kept bubbling up, and I knew I had to either sweep it under the rug and move on and hope it would go away, and then I would just kind of live with a lie and a relationship that was built on less than full honesty like that, which would compromise my integrity and so forth. Or I could tell the truth and come clean and submit to whatever consequences might come in this personal relationship that meant a lot to me. And it was a struggle, I'm telling you. What happened is I told the guys about it. If I told you about it right now, what it was, you might say it's not a big deal or whatever, but it was a big deal to me, and it was, and for a lot of reasons. And God wouldn't let me go on it. And I remember that time. I remember that was a breakthrough for me in terms of learning about accountability and how the covenant helped me to do the right thing. So I called the guys. I emailed them, actually, and I said, we need to have a conference call. It's something important. I need you today at 3 or something like that. And they dropped everything they were doing. Their schedules are crazy. They dropped it, what they were doing. They were all on the phone, probably just ready to hear some juicy gossip. I don't know. But maybe they made me think they were ready to hear about me. And I confessed my sin. I cried over the phone. It was embarrassing to me. I told them the whole deal. They listened. They didn't just make light of it. They asked good questions. And they have followed up with me on that issue. But I was set free. And it helped me go back and make it right with this person. And that was a great, happy ending there. And I felt right with God. But I just don't know that I could have or would have taken basic junior discipleship steps to do what I needed to do without the encouragement of this group. Now, I might have found some folk in my church I should have and would have, but it was so close to home that I didn't know whether I would have done that. I'll just be honest with you. So that's where we have found, yes, you know, we're not old school that says don't have friends in your eldership. We, you know, some of our elders are some of our closest friends. And our staff member, we want to do life with those guys. And there's a shared mission and a common life that can never be replaced with those kind of people. And Tim mentioned his brothers-in-law, and I've got a brother and a brother-in-law as well, and this kind of thing. But this group has provided something extra and special because of the intentionality and the desire to finish well and be in each other's lives and not go away and say I love you even whatever happens. And that has helped me grow in Christ. And so for that, we would just say, man, whatever you have to do to find something that approximates that, chase it down, take a chance, see what happens. If it doesn't work, you know, either hang in there or jump ship and keep working until you can, because it's made a big difference in all of our lives.
Amen.
Hey, Ben, let me just say to you, I'm not joking right now, which, you know, is against my personality, but... I love you more because of what you just shared. I respect you more because of what you just shared. I am more willing to be vulnerable personally because of what you just shared.
Mm-hmm.
And to stay in the game in the long haul. And I think that's what this is all about.
Yeah. And it makes everybody want to drive toward that accountability. No one's going to be accountable if they don't want to be. But when vulnerability is the key, and vulnerability starts, in my view, with friendship and trust and, you know, getting a little bit of just getting outside yourself enough to say we're all kind of vulnerable guys trying to do the best we can, to leave the best we can, and how can we help each other? And I think every person in ministry, male, female, old, young, wants that. I appreciate that, Greg. That's the first nice thing you've ever said to me, and I'm taking note of it.
Hey, Mark.
Yes,
Mark,
sir. Yes.
This is Eddie. I don't know what the percentage is, and maybe I'm just saying more about myself than I am others, but I think half or two-thirds of the goofy stuff that happens inside the heads of pastors is somehow connected to insecurity. I think that's a massive psychological and personal factor for most of us. And one of the things I think this group has done, you know, over time after you're around people, especially when you're around people who are sharp, like these guys are sharp, you know, it ends up, you have to deal with it. It ends up bringing it to the surface. It makes you have to talk about it. And I think when that starts to happen, when you're forced to kind of come face to face with all your foibles, but I just think that's a big one. I think it's a big one for people in general. I think it's a massive one for pastors. And these kinds of relationships, just don't let that lie. It sheds light on it. It just requires you to deal with it, and I think in the long run it's healthy.
Yeah, and it occurs to me that, number one, I acknowledge the special situation that pastors, the ministers are in, the special pressures that are upon them and the unique situation they're in terms of building relationships and all that stuff. But I think that you probably would, from your experience with leadership of men in your own churches and so forth, that men generally are lonely. You know, we talk about senior ministry as lonely, and it's probably a special kind of loneliness. But men generally are lonely. And achieving something like the vulnerability and the dealing with insecurity and accountability and all of that you've talked about among any group of Christian men is at once a big challenge and a big need. And so I'm hoping that that a wider group than just our minister friends will take heart from your example here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we've kept you guys almost an hour. There may be, you know, I hesitate to shut this down because I'd like to hear some more funny stories about what happened on the golf course. But so
we can send you pictures. I've got
Ben
pictures.
Ben has confessed on behalf of himself, but it's more interesting when you confess on behalf of somebody else. So if there's stories you would want to tell about each other, we have a couple minutes to hear them here.
Hey, Mark, you know, I guess since we're kind of wrapping up here, you know, if my wife, Julie, got cancer, these are the guys I'd call.
Yeah. Right.
If I was in trouble, these are the guys I'd call. You know, I just can't begin to encourage leaders enough. And it's work, and it takes effort, and yes, it costs some personal money even. But I just would say it is so worth the effort and stay in the game for the long haul. No matter if you're in a church of 100 or 50 or a church of 3,000, it doesn't matter to me. Make the effort. It's worth it to stay in the game and to have this kind of relationship, because there's nothing more valuable than what you can have in relationships right here and right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And the fun part of it is, it's also just as important, you know, to be able to celebrate, like Ben said, to be able to celebrate some of the little things that maybe nobody else could celebrate with you, but just to be able to have fun. You need some people in your life you can let your hair down with. And that's one of the side benefits of this thing. We do have a lot of fun. I mean, I can't tell you how much I look forward to our gathering in December. It's just one of the, and we've all got other people in our lives that we're deeply, you know, entrenched with and other friends. But this is one that, you know, this is one that just keeps building every time we get together. It just keeps building.
Well, I'm really grateful that you guys would spend the time to be with us today. I got to thinking, this is the second or the third time that each of you, the four of you fellows, have given us an hour to participate in this Beyond the Standard program. And each contribution has been very, very helpful to those who will listen to it. And this will be available for download in perpetuity, or at least for as long as I know. So I'm going to encourage other people to find this podcast and to listen to it, and because they'll be grateful also. Now, I've already mentioned that Eddie Lowen's article that is sort of the foundation for this is in the October Christian Standard, and you can get that from our Christian Standard app. Download, search for Christian Standard at the App Store or Google Play, apps for Android, and download the app and look for the October issue with the cover of The Runner and the title Chasing After Integrity, and you'll find a wealth of stuff there. But, you know, the November issue is already there, too, and you may decide to just subscribe to Christian Standard. It's the price of a kind of a mid-range dinner out. You can have Christian Standard on your phone or your tablet every month, and there's always free extra stuff there also. So we encourage all of our listeners to take advantage of that. Our November program is already there. In our November issue, which is on your app now, we have an interview with four missions ministers from the country talking about all kinds of nuts and bolts help, as well as some strategy for missions ministry that will help your church. There's a whole bunch of missions-related stuff in that November issue, but that interview has been transcribed and is in the November issue, but the unedited version of it is available right now at this site, our Blog Talk Radio site. You can listen to these four guys answer my questions without the benefit of the editing that happened in that printed issue. Well, we're going to spend another hour talking with you guys, but I've promised these busy fellows to keep this at an hour, so we're gonna shut this down. Before we sign off, I want to thank them again, thank our listeners for listening. Encourage you to read Christian Standard in print or online or via our app month after month. And until the next time, I'll just say bye and God bless you.